This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1247, 13 minutes before 1 o'clock. A beautiful Saturday afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll talk to Kelsey from FC Edmonton. Talk about the big game tomorrow at Clark Stadium as they play Minnesota and hope for a first win. They got a tie on the road in Puerto Rico, which never happens. So there's excitement going on. The game will be live tomorrow, by the way, at 2 o'clock right here at Team 1260. Big sports day tomorrow, because after that, the Edmonton Oil Kings in game number 2. Joined now by Kent Simpson, Oil Kings color commentator. Kent, how are you this afternoon? And Kent is not with us yet. Okay. We want to talk a little bit about the Boston Bruins. They're playing this afternoon. Got a big game this afternoon against the Washington Capitals. We'll keep you updated on that as well. Rafi Torres' suspension is 25 games, and that's the big story today. I talked about this earlier, but it seems to me as though the NHL is making up for the penalties that they gave out for Shea Weber, which was a $2,500 fine, and then all the other ones, including James Neal, who had two hits on one play that he had two hearings for and still only got one game. So it was like a half a game each. It's like they added them all up, and then Raffy's the guy that they're going to send the message to. He's kind of like the James Wisniewski of the playoffs. That's my read on the situation. Kent Simpson joins us now. Kent, what's your read on that Rafi Torres suspension of 25 games?
Wow, what a number, hey? I personally didn't think it was going to be that big. Obviously the climate, what's been going on in the playoffs so far this year, I think, was added to, the number for Rafi. And I mean, obviously his history does as well. The thing that I can't understand about this whole thing is, the referees missed the call on the ice. And so there's so much talk about what's the NHL going to do and, what are the players going to do? Well, to me, the NHL and the referees aren't even on the same page. And in this whole story, that to me is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Where how four guys on the ice can say, no, that's not a penalty, and yet the NHL can turn around and give the third largest suspension in history and say, this was, a horrible infraction. This should never happen. I mean, are you kidding me? Of course the players are going wondering what the heck's going on. To me, it's a bigger story than, the players policing themselves, the NHL policing the players. The NHL and the officials have to get on the same page before anything is done.
And you make a great point. And the thing that really draws it home is the fact that the referees and the lines, everybody missed it. But Quenneville, if you saw the interview, I think it was on NBC afterwards, I mean, that was really raw. I'm surprised he didn't, melt down his team based on how angry he was. And he saw it, and he was no closer than the referees when that play happened.
Well, you're exactly right. And then, so what happens? The NHL turns around and fines him $10,000 for, disparaging marks against the referees. And then the NHL turns around and gives him 25-game suspension. So basically what they're saying is, this was a horrible infraction. The referees missed it. Anyone who watches the game and knows the game should have known that's a penalty. And yet we're still going to fine the coach $10,000 for what he said. I mean, there's such a disconnection happening right now, between the league, the referees and the players, as a fan, as a player, as anyone, you just got to shake your head and, who knows what's going to happen next.
Well, and you make a great point about the players. This is such a beautiful game played by such tremendous, talented athletes. They have a right to know, one day to the other, it's like where the strike zone is in baseball. What's an illegal hit? What's an illegal hit? And if I'm a hockey player lacing them up tonight, I have no idea what's legal and what isn't legal and what'll be penalized and punished and what won't be.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly it. It's so confusing. And, look at Brett Burns earlier in the first round. I mean, obviously, we're still in the first round, but his elbow on Scott Nichol, I mean, that goes uncalled. And so, that just leaves people scratching their head, players going, what the heck? Shea Weber gets fined $2,500, doesn't miss any, games for his infraction on Zetterberg. So you're right. There's guys just going, I don't know what I can and can't do out there.
Yeah. And Malkin, I haven't heard anything today about a phone call, but I imagine there'll be a phone call based on what he did last night too. So
the kind of the pick on Couturier.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, there was a couple, but that one specifically, I would think would be worth at least a phone call and $2,500, which is pizza money. But I mean, it's you know, at least it's worth a phone call and a conversation. Let's talk about something very positive in our town: playoff hockey. It's been a while, but people are really getting going, and 20 straight wins right now for the Oil Kings, right?
20 straight wins, yeah. 9 in a row in the playoffs.
That's got to be attendance was what, about 9,000 last night? That's what I'd heard anyway.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was even a little bit more than that. I mean, just a fabulous atmosphere. The crowd was in it right from the get-go. And, you know, especially, I mean, the second period from an Oil Kings perspective was just incredible. They were flying out there. That was, you know, it really was the beautiful game. You know, they call soccer the beautiful game. But just the way that they were moving the puck around, it was so crisp, the speed. It was one of the finest periods I've seen a single team play. And the crowd was in it, and they applauded them. You know, even on some plays where they didn't score, it was just kind of tic-tac-toe. They didn't quite finish, but certainly the crowd appreciated that, and it was just a wonderful atmosphere.
It reminded me of that old line about you got to hit them, and then the response is, well, I got to catch them first. They really were flying.
Well, they were, and you know, it might be a different story come Sunday. I mean, obviously this is one game, and you know, I have a feeling that we'll see a different game from the Moose Jaw Warriors. But you know, they came on this in this game in quite a streak, winning 8 in a row. There's no way that they anticipated to lose 6-1 in game one. And sure, they'll probably have to make a few adjustments.
The thing about the Oil Kings that I keep coming back to and listening to you and Corey all winter long is this team has great depth everywhere. They roll four lines. They've got it's almost like I don't notice the defensemen very much because they're not out there very often. They roll them almost equally. This team has great depth, and yet they've overcome a lot too, right, in injuries and that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, that's where why they're in the position that they are right now, Al. And, you know, their second leading scorer in the league, Dylan Ruck, sits out last night with an upper body injury. And the guy filling his spot is a local kid, Clark Wilson. You know, who gets on the board first? The Oil Kings, Clark Wilson. You know, he ends up with a three-point night, plays along a line with, you know, his kind of regular line mates throughout the regular season, Peddle and Rachinski. You know, although Rachinski gets on the board, he has 3 points. So, you know, you talk about the depth. It's just incredible. And then, you know, they got an injury. Well, we're not really too sure. I haven't heard any updates, but Christian Spelch left the game in the second period. I mean, this is another guy that's just been flying. And, you know, everyone is keeping their fingers crossed that he's going to be okay. Like I said, no official word. But, yeah, just the depth. And, you know, when you have an injury, there's just guys ready to just step up and really just kind of carry on with business as usual.
Corey passed along to us that it's day-to-day, a lower body, and not as bad as it looked. That's the early indication, but in regard to Pels, so I'll pass that along.
Okay, well, yeah, no, that's encouraging. I mean, it didn't look great on the replay. Just kind of looked like he kind of, you know, caught his skate blade in the ice and then kind of got wrestled over top of it. And you could see kind of his leg kind of bend back. So it was either a knee or an ankle. It was tough to tell from upstairs.
This kid, Lazar, is emerging as we speak. Going into next year, scouts are going to be, they just might as well move to Edmonton, because when Reinhardt's done, Lazar is going to be the guy everybody's watching.
Yeah, you know, he really is. And, you know, his reputation preceded himself when he got here at the start of this year for his first full rookie season. I mean, what this kid had done and, you know, Bantam Midget leading up to it was just incredible. And he had a really good season, 20 goals. I think there was, a few stretches over the course of the season where, you know, maybe the number of games caught up to him, maybe just the wear and tear. But, you know, just something about kids with incredible talent, and you combine it with confidence. And that's where we're seeing right now with Curtis Lazar. I mean, he's trying things out there that, you know, we know he's capable of, but he may not have tried in the regular season just because, you know, you lose your confidence or you've got a game plan that you're trying to stick to. But, you know, he's meshing so well with Stefan Legault and Henrik Samuelsson, his two line mates. And it's just a pleasure to watch. It's as simple as that. I mean, you got to remind yourself that this kid's only 17 years old. You know, he's first in the corners on the pucks. He'll take a hit to make a play. And then you give him some time with the puck in the slot, he can bury it too.
On the other side of the ice, Morgan Riley, I'd never seen him until last night. This guy, he can fly. He's really talented.
Well, yeah, he is. And, you know, I'll be honest, I mean, that was his first game in, you know, however many months. And he still looked really good. And so being down with a knee injury out for so long, I thought he fit in very well. And I think this guy's just going to get better and better the more games he plays, the more he gets back up to game speed. But, you know, for someone, you know, especially a draft-eligible player, you know, to miss time since before Christmas practically and in the lineup, be on the power play, jumping up into the pickup on the lone Moose Jaw Warriors goal. You know, he's going to be a big factor, I think, in the series before it's all said and done. And I think that'll just, you know, him getting accustomed back to the speed as quick as possible.
You made a great point earlier. I want to revisit it. The game tomorrow, Oil Kings fans should expect a much tougher Moose Jaw opposition tomorrow night.
You know, I would think so. I mean, you know, so much was talked about before the series started with, you know, kind of the Moose Jaw Warriors' grit and toughness and physicality, you know, going up against the depth and speed of the Oil Kings. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, the Moose Jaw Warriors came into this yesterday's game on an 8-game winning streak. They were playing some fabulous hockey. And, you know, maybe you could look at the layoff. Both teams had been off since the Wednesday previous, and maybe just affected Moose Jaw a little bit more than it did the Oil Kings. So I'm sure that they're having a regroup day today. When they take ice tomorrow, yesterday they'll be long forgotten. And, you know, their whole purpose coming here all along will be to split the first two games. Mm-hmm. So that just kind of puts a little bit more pressure on them to get the job on Sunday.
Game time is what, 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock start, yeah.
Beautiful. Hey, we'll look forward to it. Kent, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Al. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, buddy. That's Kent Simpson, Edmonton Oil Kings color commentator. He'll be back on the radio tomorrow night with Corey Graham. But it's a very exciting series, and you don't want to look too far ahead. But, man, is this great playoff hockey, spring, sunshine. Yeah, I like it. Okay, in the next half hour, we've got Kent Wilson from Flames Nation. We'll also talk to Jonathan Willis before 2 o'clock as well about the draft and the Oilers and other items. And Kelsey from FC Edmonton, looking forward to the home opener tomorrow. We'll talk about that next on Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.